It says in 1 Corinthians 1:27, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." It says in 1 Samuel 16:7, the prophet Samuel looked upon David's older brothers, thinking that they were more worthy to become God's anointed king. Yet God teaches Samuel and us a very important lesson, that God does not look upon the outward show and piety of strength. He does not look at what we can bring to the table. And Samuel said, "Oh, surely this is the king. Surely this is your elder son. He will be king." And God does not look upon those things. He looks upon your heart. He sees what you're trusting in. He sees if you're truly trusting in him or in some self-righteous effort to get right with God. Some works-based Christianity, some independent spirit saying, I can do these things. I can live a life for God how I want to live. Not utterly depending upon the Lord for salvation. And so God looks upon the heart, not the outward show of piety and strength. Friends, when will we ever learn that God does not require our puny sacrifices and our self-efforts? What God desires is for us to obey his voice, as it says in 1 Samuel 15:22. Throughout the scriptures, there is a pattern throughout the scriptures which the Bible emphasizes over and over again, which we must take heed from. Often, and this is in the context of what we've been speaking about, often it is the eldest children, within a family which fall into the devil's trap, into thinking that they are better than their younger children, than their siblings. That is a thing that we see in Christ's ancestry here. They think that they are better. They think that they are more worthy of God's blessing and the things of God. They tend to be perfectionists. Indeed, many of the ancestors of Christ, according to the flesh, did they descend from the stronger, the older? No, they descended from the younger, what the world considers the weaker, what they considered weaker in those days. Christ's ancestry, such as Abraham and Jacob and Judah and David and Nathan and so on, descended from the younger. The Lord Jesus himself warns of this secret pride within that can be so destructive in coming to true salvation in Christ. A secret pride, really, within that is so destructive in true salvation in Christ, in true saving grace. It says in Luke 22:26, "But he that is greatest among you," what does it say? "Let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve." Let him be as the younger. Let him understand that all his talents and abilities, those things can never ever save that person. Unless you become as a child, understand your great need, like a little child of God, your dependence. You see, the devil will want you to be independent, like the world says, to live. And, you know, you've got to be independent. You've got to do what you want in life. How opposite to what the Bible teaches about depending upon God by grace alone, through faith alone, through Christ alone. How different. We must understand that none of us have any automatic right to an inheritance with Christ or heaven. That must sink in. We must understand that. None of us, Daddy doesn't, none of us here have an automatic right of salvation because of our upbringing, because of what our parent might have said, or what a priest might have said, or whoever might have said. None of us have that. It is only by having a personal relationship through Jesus Christ in a personal and intimate way, and being saved by grace alone, through Christ alone, by faith alone, We cannot get to heaven any other way. There's no automatic right to know God savingly, to know of your place in heaven. We have to be born again. There has to sovereign. You have to be called of God, like David was, and like Abraham was, and like all those in Christ's ancestry were. They were called of God. They were commissioned of God. And please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this to discourage any of you here. I'm not saying this to discourage you or to accuse you if you're truly in Christ. That is a blessed thing. I'm not saying this to accuse or discourage you. Rather, I'm saying this because the devil is very, very clever in deceiving elder children and those who are advantaged by any outward advantages of strength or being dutiful or whatever, or some certain ability. The devil is very, very clever in deceiving those that from a worldly perspective have an outward advantage into thinking that God will accept them on their terms and not on what the Bible prescribes. The devil is very deceitful, and we see that very prevalent now in the world. And we, like Esau, can vainly think that we have an automatic birthright and inheritance because of being dutiful. Esau was very dutiful, but he did not have an automatic birthright. He lost his spiritual birthright, really, because he thought that he was doing things outwardly, but inwardly he did not have the same attitude towards his father and his mother. He wasn't truly following the same God as they were following. Yet being dutiful by itself will only secure us more firmly on that broad road to hell, if it is not met with a new nature, which comes, of course, only by grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. As it says in Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." You know, we of all men and women will be most miserable if this is our condition. If we're trying to get to heaven by any other means than by grace in Christ alone, you will be the most miserable of people if that is your condition. Because such a condition does not give any lasting assurance or joy. There's no joy in your life because you know that you're really not God's. And it's just a pretense. It's just an outward show of piety. You know that there hasn't been a true change, a calling of God yet in your life. And that's why David can say in Psalm 51:12, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." That's why he could say, he doesn't say, I've got to do all these things again in my life to get that salvation back, to get that sense of my salvation back. No, he says, restore that sense of my salvation. I've sinned, but restore, God. You can only bring that sense of salvation. That day when you saved me, when you anointed me with your Holy Spirit, bring back that joy in my life. Not I'm going to do all these things to get that back or to earn my salvation. No, by your grace alone can restore that. If we will not acknowledge and confess our utter weakness and hopelessness to be saved of God before the mercy seat, our pride and our self-confidence will continue to build a great, towering Berlin-type wall between us and God. A great towering Chinese wall, a huge wall, will be kept if we carry on in our self-confidence and our pride. That wall will be continued, and that will, of course, stop the light of the gospel coming in.